Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back. It is good to be back. I know it's been a few weeks. Amen. But, amen, you have to take care of business and take care of family. Amen. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that you are here. I'm praying for each and every one of you. Do the same for all of the saints, including me. I'm praying for the saints during this age. Amen. We are still alive and well, and ministry is still going forward despite what the world is doing. Amen. It is a good time to be alive. Amen. As we are still watching and waiting for our Lord and Savior. Amen. Christ, Yeshua the Christ, to return. Amen. Now, we'll also be on the air tomorrow with Elder Bazaar. Amen. Which is 4 p.m. my time, Central Time. And I believe it's 5 p.m. East Coast time, and if you're on West Coast time, you're 2 hours before Central Time, which is probably about 2 p.m. Amen. But it is good to be back, family. It's good to be back to share ministry and share the word with you. The last time I was on the air with you, I was talking about Revelation, the first chapter. We were talking about the return of Christ, and we are still, that's going to be a forever subject. Amen. Until he does return, or until, amen, he calls me home. As I told you before, eschatology is something that you can continue to teach for many years. I'll be teaching this for the rest of my life. Amen. Or until the return of Christ. Many of us believe that he is soon to return. That is not saying that we know when he's going to return. We want to make sure that we make that very clear, because some people are interpreting that as we know when he's going to return. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Christ says no man knows. No one but the Father knows. Only the Heavenly Father knows when he's going to send his son back to get the church, to get the children. Amen. We are definitely waiting for Christ's return. Amen. Because of not just because of recent events, but because of due to the history of the Bible. Amen. We know that every 2,000 years it is due a great event according to the word. And we know the last 2,000 years, our Lord and Savior died on the cross and gave his life, amen, for all of mankind. Amen. We know that for some that is very hard to grasp and believe. We know that a lot of the non-believers or unbelievers have that mentality and that mindset. Is how can a man die for all of our sins, amen? Well, it's a spiritual thing, amen, and, you know, you have to get into the word, but we know before you can even get into the word, you have to receive salvation, amen, but we do know that there is a God, amen. I tell people all the time, it's amazing that people actually think that there is no God, and it doesn't take much to know that there is a God that sits up on the throne. I can look at the clouds in the sky and the green grass, the green trees on this earth, and know that this is by design. This is not by mistake. This is not by an explosion. This is not just something that just happened. Amen. There's an author to all things. Just like there's an author to a book, that was made by purpose. If someone writes a book, it was purpose. Words just don't come together on the page and present itself. Someone had to orchestrate that. Someone with the mind had to orchestrate that. Someone with intellect, someone with intelligence. And that's what Christ is. If you go back and look at the book of St. John, the first chapter, verse 1, it says what? I'll tell you exactly what it says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, I may be messing that up a little bit because I'm not reading it verbatim, but let me go to the scripture, because I tell you all the time, I don't like to just talk. I like to give you scripture. I like to show you some proof. So let's actually go over to St. John, the first chapter, and let's read what it says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what the scripture says. So what that is saying is that Christ is the Word. That's what Logos is. He was the intellect. He was the intelligence. He is the mind of God. And if he is the mind of God, guess what? If he is the mind of God, he is the intelligence of God. He is the what? Thought process of God. And he was made manifest, amen, to come down to earth. to dwell among us. Amen. That's what the Bible means when it says God among men. God has come down to be among us. That's how much he loves us. Amen. He has redeemed man. And so I'll take the Bible theory any day and any time over, amen, over the Big Bang theory, which makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. You can't tell me that the universe, there was a big explosion and everything just started into existence. I tell you what, you can get a bomb and you can put it in the building and that building can sit there for a trillion years and I guarantee you a bomb won't create anything. It is impossible. It is against anything that's against creation. Let's just put it like that. It's against creation itself. Destruction does not bring about creation. Amen. That is foolishness from man, and mankind has created that foolishness, has put that foolishness into universities and into school, into the scholastic system, and they teach that nonsense all over the planet now. Those of us who are spiritual, those of us who are the natural, real, true man, we know that there is a God. Amen. Amen. The book of, let me go to the book of Romans real quick. Let me share something with you what Paul wrote. Amen. Let's go to the scripture. Let me share with you what Paul has wrote. Amen. Amen. I'm a little old school. I don't have the devices, and so I like to use the paper, the Bible. I like to use the scriptures itself. It just works better for me. It says in Romans, the first chapter, verse 20, this is what it says. Amen. In fact, let me go to read Romans, the first chapter, verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God, amen, that's the Heavenly Father, the Father, the Son, and what? The Holy Spirit, is manifest. The word manifest in the Greek, if you translate, means to be what? Made known. Right? But in other words, that means that it's knowledgeable. It's for you to know. Right? Amen. It says, in them, for God has showed it unto them. Amen. So he has showed himself to us on earth. People say, well, I want to see God. Well, you ain't going to get to see God if you don't believe. That's number one, because those who don't believe won't get to see God. Only us that believe him will get to see him. Amen. But people will get smart and say all this crazy nonsense, try to be cute, and say, why can't God show himself to you? Well, he shows himself to you every single day. When you wake up and you open your eyes, God has showed himself to you. Amen. Give him the praise. Amen. We thank him for who he is and what he is. And we're going to say a quick prayer. We're going to get right to the scriptures. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for life itself. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and his guidance and protection. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you're about to do. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings. We thank you for what you've done and the things that you have set before us, the path that you have set before us, the success that you have set before us as your children, dear Heavenly Father. Lead us and guide us and protect us. We thank you and we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen, amen. Usually I read the scriptures of love, but we're going to go ahead and just get into the word, amen, today. Amen. And we may touch on the scriptures of love today, but right now I just feel by the Spirit, we're just going to go ahead and get into the word. Amen. Now, we're talking about the book of Revelation. Amen. We've been talking about some things, but right now I just want to deal with creation. I just want to deal with God himself, because people have this nonsense thought that I've been hearing out here that there is no God. And I can look at these beautiful green trees out here. I can look at the beautiful clouds in the sky. I can hear the birds chirping. In fact, let me share a story with you that resonated with me many years ago, over 20 years ago, before I became saved. This is before I became saved, because a lot of people think salvation is just by accident. Salvation is not by accident. Salvation is by design. And so you have to understand that, amen? And so what I'm saying to you is, I remember when I was a young man, I was very young, And I woke up early one morning, and in my bedroom, the sun was shining through the blinds. And I heard the birds chirping as I was laying in my bed. And I can smell and breathe the fresh air because my window was cracked open. And I could just hear the things that were going on outside in the world. And it just hit me just like that. Now, this is before I became saved. And something just came to me and said, Tim, there is a God. Now, we know that because we're raised in church. We're told that, right? But how do you really know that there is a God? You can be told many things, but how do you really know that there's a God? See, it's not by mistake. It's by design. So that means that when I woke up that morning, that early morning, and these things were happening, I can smell, I can see, I can feel, I can touch, I can have a mental intellect reasoning. I heard the birds chirping. I see the sun shining through my blinds, through my windows, as it hits part of my room. I can hear the birds chirping. I hear the things going on outside. I can smell the fresh air from outside. There is a God. That's what I said to myself. Tim, there is a God. There's evidence. I know your mom and dad and everybody in your family has been telling you, the preachers, and you've been going to church all your life, and people are saying there's a God. But this is real. There is a God. Let something bad happen to you. Who's the first person you're going to call? You ain't going to call your mama or your daddy. You don't even call Big Mama or Big Daddy or whoever you got in your life. You're going to call God. Oh, my God. Let somebody hit you over the head. Well, the first thing you're going to say, oh, my God. Let something tragic or bad happen in your life. Or you see something bad happen. What's the first thing people say? Oh, my God. They'll call. They'll say, oh, my mama, oh, my daddy, whatever your mom and dad. They say, oh, my God, because God is real. This is real. This is true. This is nothing fake. This is nothing funny. This is real. God is real. Amen. He is real. And you need to know the evidences of him. When you wake up in the morning, you go to the restroom and look in the mirror and see yourself, wash your face, brush your teeth. Do whatever you got to do, shower in the morning. That's God. Amen. Not saying that you are God, but you are his creation. See, I remember a young sister one time trying to say, well, everybody knows, everybody believes in God. Sister, I have to correct her, sister. Everybody don't believe in God. Don't put that out there. Everybody know that there's a God. Even the silly atheist, and I did say silly, the silly atheist knows, the people who say there's no God, they know that there's a God. Let something bad happen in their life, Bill, their reasoning will come into effect. Well, if there's a God, save my child, save my wife, save my husband, save my mama, save my dad. Now, wait a minute, but you were for sure the other day, before something bad and tragic happened in your life, that there was no God. You was for sure. You knew for sure without a shadow of a doubt, without a blink or a bat of an eye, there was no God. But I'm here to sit here and tell you today, as God is my witness, there is a God. There is a day of reckoning. You can best and rest assured there's a day of reckoning. And what that means is that you think people are going to live out here in this life. See, this life ain't a mistake. This is by design. Adam was created for a purpose. It was by design. Man just didn't happen. When they make your car, that's by design. When they make your TV and your computer and your house, that's by design. There's an architect that designs where you live, whether it be an apartment, a house, whatever. It can be a bridge if you live up on the bridge. That bridge was designed by somebody. Why do we think the most complicated thing is not by design, which is the universe and the planets and the sun, the moon, the star, the planet Earth that we live on? That's the most complicated thing. But something simple like a car computer, God can snap his finger and that'll appear. He can make a car better than with anything that man got. And you just don't tell me the most complicated things we can't understand, that sun is up there burning in the sky. You don't tell me that was by mistake or that just so happened. But we down here on Earth creating computers and devices and cell phones and earplugs and earbuds and games and computer games and TVs and you name it, clothes, and we design all this type of stuff. And you gonna tell me that the God in heaven ain't real, don't exist? Man of church, I'm here to talk to you today to let you know that there is a God. Amen. There is a God. There is a heaven, amen, which those of us who believe one day our soul will go there to rest, and when he comes back to get the church, amen, we will be with Christ forevermore. In fact, the book of Colossians, let me go to the book of Colossians and share this with you, what the book of Colossians says about Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. And people need to get a personal relationship with Christ. And when I say a personal relationship, what I'm saying to you is you need to get to know who Christ the man is. He loves you. He is on your side. Christ and God is not somebody that's distant from us, that looks down and hates us. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves you more than your mama loves you. God loves you more than your daddy loves you. God loves you more than you love yourself. Amen? Because God did what no man could possibly do. Amen. Come on, I need y'all to hear me today. Yeah, I'm preaching now. Amen. I don't know what's going on. Amen. But I might as well be up in the pulpit once again. Amen. God loves you more than anybody, more than anything. Amen. So let's take a look at the scripture. Amen. There it is right there. It must be the Holy Spirit. The book of Colossians says, the Colossians, the first chapter, let's just read verse 15. Let's read what it said, 15 and 16. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? Amen. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Amen. Right now, Christ is the representative of God on earth. Who is the image? Christ. God himself came to earth. Christ. Because the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is one. They are one. They are one God. Even though they are three different, amen, persons or whatever you want to call them, they are, see, because you and your tiny mind can't grasp that, amen. Only through the Holy Spirit can those of us who are saved and truthfully believe grasp that. Only through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you grasp that? See, because you can't see yourself as one, two, three, me, myself, and I as one, amen. But you are. Because we are what? Made in his image. Amen? Come on with me. Talk to me. Now watch what it says. It says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether by thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, I'm going to top it off. It says, and he is before all things. This refers back to, amen, St. John, the first chapter, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It's talking about Christ. Colossians 1 and 17 says that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. You know, I had a talk with this guy. He claimed he was an atheist. I didn't know what he was. He claimed that God didn't make everything. He said, if God made everything, how could God make rubber? I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit on you. He said, how could God make rubber? I'm like, what in the world is this guy talking about? What book is he been reading? What planet he living on? If God made the planet Earth and rubber comes from the Earth, that means God created it. See, just because God didn't actually design a car for Adam to drive in don't mean that God didn't make this car. God, the Bible says that all things consist. See, what that simply means is that you may sit on a chair that's a wooden furniture or your couch, but that couch came from something that Christ created. It came from a tree. Cars come from metal. Rubber comes from the earth. Plastic comes from the earth. Comes from oil. Everything still consists of what God has created. And then you got some knucklehead that wants to sit there and tell me, because they don't know any better, amen. Bless them. They don't have any common sense, amen, let alone spiritual sense, amen. They don't have that at all. But they don't have no common sense along with spiritual sense. They're going to say, how did God make rubber again? I'm like, Lord have mercy. Did the young man graduate? I think somebody with a high school diploma can understand that if God created all things, amen, I think a child could simply understand. Somebody with simple reasoning in elementary or junior high, definitely in high school, understand when God created the earth, that means everything that's in the earth, it comes from the earth. And even if we chop down a tree and make a log cabin out of the tree, that still means that God, amen, come on somebody and talk to me, that God made the what? Tree. He made the log cabin. It still consists of a tree. So basically, God made the log cabin. If you're a hybrid or half human or part human, God still made you because you had to come from something, the real human. Amen. That's a little deep for some of y'all. Amen. You still had to come from the main source. The tree is the main source of the couch in the church you sit on. If it's an iron chair in your kitchen, they still have to get it from iron ore in the earth. They still have to get it from something that consists of something raw from the earth that God originally created. Christ is the only being that can manifest something from nothing. That comes from Christ. You say, why am I having this discussion with you? I thought we was in Revelation. We are in Revelation. I'm having this discussion so you can get to know Christ better, so you can get to know who God is. Because if you don't even know who God is, Revelation is going to be very tough for you to comprehend. Amen. So hopefully the saints understand this and understand what I just said. Now we go back over to Revelation, the first chapter, and we deal with Revelation, the first chapter, verse. Let's take a look at some verse. Now, we did kind of touch on that. I may do one verse. I just want to touch on one verse, actually, over in Revelation, the first chapter. Then we're going to move on to the churches. Now, what I want to deal with, amen, is Revelation 1 and 17, because all of Revelation, all the Bible is powerful because, why? It is the Word of God. Amen. We know what it is. We know who it comes from. Amen. But Revelation 1 and 17 says, and when I saw him, this is John the apostle talking. Amen. John the apostle was on the island of Patmos in prison. And Christ had to send the message. He was one of the few disciples alive at the time. If not, he could have been possibly, well, the last disciple, amen, of Christ that was alive. Amen. Some believe that he was the last. Some believe that one or maybe two or three of them was alive. Or the last, at the time that John wrote the book of Revelation, or at the time that Revelation was revealed to him, let's say that. Amen? But either way, it says, and when I saw him, John is speaking, when I saw him, who is him? He's talking about Christ. This is why I want to reference the heaven and the earth, the beginning, the who created the heaven. I want you to know how powerful Christ is. See, most people don't even know how powerful Christ is. They don't know. They don't know how powerful Christ is. Because if you knew how powerful Christ is, you wouldn't need to rely on man for protection because you believe in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to rely on any weapons or guns or anything like that. I know we have enemies out here. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is powerful than any weapon that man can form. That's why the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is if you're walking with the Lord, amen. I'm not talking about folks out here in the world wild now. I'm talking about if you're walking with God. He's talking to us. See, that resonates with the believers. He said, I will be more than the world against you. The world is huge. The world is great. Amen. But my God is greater, amen, because he what? Created heaven and earth. Woo, man, that's deep. Come on with me and talk to him. Now watch what it says. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, before I move forward, I got to capture that. He said, and when I saw him, John speaking about Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, I've been blessed and fortunate, nor do I want to witness this. I've never seen somebody just drop dead, literally. Just drop. I've seen a person faint. I've seen a person get knocked out. And I said that to say this, that when you have no consciousness or control, because that's what death is. Death means you no longer have control over your physical body in the natural, in this life. Death now has control. Death now has power. But John is just referencing death in his scripture, in his verse, and that I fell at his feet, what? As dead. Not mean that he was dead, but as if he had what? Fell as if he was dead. As if a dead man had hit the ground. When he saw Christ, this is how powerful Christ is. Christ is so powerful, he ain't got to lift a, ooh, Lord have mercy, come on and talk to me. He don't even have to lift a finger. He don't even have to say a word. He don't even have to blink an eye. My God is so powerful, he just be God all by himself. He can just be God, and that take care of it all. That's why I told you all, if you've been listening to my show the past weeks, I have been telling you that Satan is not a nemesis to God. God has no nemesis, amen, because there is just no being in existence on that level with God. Does he have an enemy? Sure. He says, if you rebel against me, you are my enemy. If you choose not to do my will, you are my enemy. That's what the word says. So you just say enemy. An enemy just means that you're on the opposite side of me. An enemy just simply means you're not with me. That's how it works. If you ain't with me, you're against me. That's how it works. That's all it means. It just means you're against God. And since you choose to be against God, he's got a place for you called hell in the lake of fire. He's going to punish you for all eternity. Amen? But there is not a nemesis. A nemesis means a rival, somebody who can challenge you. Lucifer cannot challenge God on no level. God don't have to blink. He don't have to move. He don't have to lift a hand. He don't even have to speak. And he can destroy Satan with a simple thought. He can cast Lucifer and all the fallen angels down to the lake of fire right now if he wanted to. And all the people with him if he just wanted to. That's my God. See, that's the God I serve. And that's why the Bible says he has not given us what? The spirit of fear. Why is he not giving us the spirit of fear? Amen. Come on, talk to me, somebody. He has not given us the spirit of fear because we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. Man, I'm not going to even get on to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that's the only sin you cannot be forgiven of is if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, man. I tell people, man, you don't play with God. Don't play with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But I want to share that with you in Revelation 1 and 17. Now watch what he said. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me. Now when he laid his right hand upon John, he was simply letting John know, John, it's okay. See, that's love. He had to put John at ease because, remember, if you was to turn around and see an image and you drop it dead, you're talking about all kind of fear. I'm quite sure you're going to lose all control of your body fluids. I'm quite sure because you're going to fear, amen, for what? Your life. You're like, oh, my God, what has just happened? There you go. Oh, my God. See, there you go. Acknowledging what? There is a God. John is just saying, when I saw God, when I saw Christ, when I saw his son, I fell at his feet, amen, come on, talk to me, as dead. See, if you knew who he was, you have the faith of a what? Mustard seed. A mustard seed is a tiny seed, if you just put it in your hands, real small seed. That basically means that I ain't asking you to have a whole lot of faith, just have some, amen, just have some faith. See, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, amen, I have the faith of a mustard seed and just go for it. I have the faith that I got that much faith. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move forward and progress in my life. Amen. I may have the faith of a mustard seed, but I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to believe, amen, the means to an end is going to help me to accomplish my goals. Amen. Now back to the scripture. Now watch the man. He laid his hand upon John to let John know, hey, now watch what he says. He laid his hand upon John, saying unto me, fear not. And I'm not just talking about fear. You will be scared, as I just said, probably lose all control of your bodily fluids. Amen. Because you just fell at his feet as dead. You're fearful. You'll be pretty scared. I would be too. Anyway, ain't nobody too big and bad that you ain't scared of God. Don't you ever let nobody believe that they ain't scared of God. But boy, let me tell you right now, if he could come down, ooh, Lord have mercy, and the world is cutting up like it is now, you just don't know. I'm talking about both saints and ain't Amen. We talking about those who believe and those who don't believe. Amen. Because Paul said it best. Paul said, there is none righteous. But he wasn't just talking about the unbelievers. He's also talking to the believers. There is none righteous. No, not one. In other words, none of us are perfect. So if Christ was to come down and catch you in your sin, you'd be scared. I'm talking to the church. I ain't got to talk to those that don't believe. We already know they cutting up. But we talking to the church. If he was to come down and catch you in your sin, you'd be like, Lord, have mercy. But because he loved John, and because he loved the church, amen, because that's who his message is to through John. Because he loves me, he loves you. And don't think he don't love the sinner, because he loves the sinner man too. He loves the backslider. He loves the sinner. He definitely loves his children, the believers. He loves the believers. Now, backsliders are believers, so let's make sure we understand, get that right. They're believers. They're just sometimes, you just kind of messed up sometimes and kind of go to the wayside, but you come right back. Amen. Let's not get that confused with people saying, oh, I used to be saved. No, that's not what that is. You're always saved. Amen. It's just that there are times to what? We make mistakes. Amen. I believe Dunn McCurtain had a son one time. I thought it was a good son. He said, we fall down, but we what? We get up. Well, you get up because the Holy Spirit is in you, because the God in you raises you up. Amen. God's going to raise us from the dead. That's why you got to die, because he's going to raise you from the dead. Amen. Now, Christ knows his words are real. We know that's who Christ speaks. He says, fear not. I am the first. Amen. That's why I got those introducing you over in St. John, the first chapter, verse 1, and Colossians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 17. It says, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, amen, look at me now. I am alive forevermore, amen, have the keys. Now watch this, the keys of hell and of death, meaning that they have no power over Christ. Hell can't hold you. Death can't hold you. Christ has defeated hell, and he's defeated death, because hell is the door and the gateway to the lake of fire. But because we believe in him and we've received salvation, we won't see what? Death. We won't see the second death. Amen. All glory to the Most High. We won't see the second death. And I am grateful for that. I am grateful for Christ's sacrifice. I'm grateful for his obedience and his love. Amen. So we're going to move on. Now watch this. We'll get into the seven churches. We're going to talk about the churches. Amen. And the church today is being shaken. It needs to wake up. We are shaking the church. I've been shaking you guys for a year. And then those of you that are now woke and awakened, we bless you. Amen. We are grateful for you that you now are knowledgeable to know what's going on. I have laid the foundation 1 year of teaching of the book of Revelation. I will continue to teach eschatology and Revelation and the return of Christ until he either returns, amen, to get the church, or until I pass and leave this world, amen. Because, again, I did say no man knows the day or the hour, amen. I heard some people say they can actually predict when Christ comes back. I said, boy, these folks are putting out anything on social media just to get views. I ain't reading what the Bible say. No, forget what the Bible say. I got the answer right here. They're going to tell you what the answer is. Christ is coming on this date. He's going to come this year, this month, on this date. That's what they're doing now. I'm like, this is what we're doing. We actually predicting when Christ is coming back. We actually know when Christ is coming back. Well, he even said himself, he don't even know. So how can the one that basically knows just about all things, created all things, he don't know. But man here on earth that has sin knows. I said, Lord, people will do anything just to get millions of views. They ain't concerned about telling the truth. They're not concerned about people's souls. And this is why the world's in the shape that it's in now. And it's waxing worse. Don't you think in your mind it's going to get better? I heard some rumors now. I'm going to say it's rumors because I don't know if it's a fact, but they're talking about the pandemic is over with. I don't know. Okay? Maybe it is, maybe it is. I know we've all been grievous towards this whole thing, been wanting it to be lifted or go away. I know I'm ready to get back to the day and time I can walk around without a mask on. Amen. I told you in the very beginning of this thing, I could not stand it because I already didn't go anywhere. But when I did go, I would always forget my mask, go in the store, got to come back out the store, go home, get my mask, and my ankles. Hey, it was tedious. But you think that's going to be something. Man, wait till Christ returns to get to church, and you're going to have to deal with that Antichrist. That's if you don't believe. Now, if you believe, if you're a believer, you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you won't be here. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Meaning that you will be saved from the great tribulation. I'm still seeing people out here posting videos. Again, I don't know if they're trying to get views, I don't know if they're trying to get attention, followers. I don't know what people are doing. The church will not and shall not be here. The church has gone through 2,000 years of tribulation. The scripture says that. We won't be here. Christ is coming back to get us. Just like he saved Noah, amen. Just like he saved the prophet Elijah, amen. Just like he saved the children of Israel. God knows how to protect his own and keep his own. We won't be here. Hallelujah. And I tell people all the time, man, I could be a trillionaire tomorrow. It wouldn't matter. I'd still be ready to leave this world when Christ will be ready for Christ to come and get me. Because I know what I got coming in heaven is going to be far more great than anything I can receive here on earth. Amen. For one, you're going to receive the greatest gift. He said, the gift of life. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. Meaning that that is the greatest gift. You show me something that's greater than eternal life. You can't find it. See, you could be a trillionaire, and then you die a year later. It didn't do you no good because now you ain't a trillionaire no more. You're just a dead person. You say, oh, he's a dead trillionaire. No, he's not. He's just a dead person. He's not a trillionaire in death because he can't use that money when he dies. He's just a dead person. Eternal life is the greatest gift. See, death will separate you from life. See, life, this is life. Going to work, living, breathing, eating, enjoying life, working, making money, that's life. That's, and some will say that's life abundant. If you have a lot of money, a good job, a beautiful home, that is, that's life in abundance. Okay, if you compare that to living in a tent or under a bridge, then you have to say, okay, then this is life abundantly. If you're rich, if you have money, you don't even have to be rich. Even if you're doing good financially, if you're living good, you ain't got to be rich. You can just say, hey, I'm taking care of business. I'm living good. I don't want for nothing. I'm not hungry or starving or nothing. You're living life in abundance. So what can separate you from that? Death can. And I just read to you in Revelation 1 where Christ said, death ain't got no power over me. I got the keys to death. I mean, I can unlock death, and he got to release you. Amen. All glory to the Most High. I can unlock hell, and hell got to release you. Now, we know that believers don't go to hell, but we knew in the Old Testament time that what? The Old Testament saints went down into what was called hell, Hades. But paradise was there. And paradise was separate. This is what separated. Amen. What we call hell, where the unbelieving dead went. And paradise was where the believing dead went. And Christ is what? Unlocked hell. That's why the Bible says he led captivity captive. He had to release those saints. Amen. He went back where? To heaven. He took the saints with him. The Old Testament saints. Amen. And for us, we'll get rest. He'll give us what? All rest. You're going to be resting. This is the power of my God. This is the power of his son. Now, we're going to look at Revelation, Revelation, the first chapter, verse 20. I'm so sorry. Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. So I know we talked about this before. Amen. About the stars, and it tells you what they are. The stars are the angels. of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. So we talk about the leadership in church. That's what we're dealing with here in these, in this verse, where Christ gave John the message to write to the church to send us a warning. Now, why would he send the church a warning? Well, he's sending those that are faking and shaking, playing. They're in church, but they're not the church. There's a difference. You could be in church and not the church. I'll say that again. You could be in church and not the church. Meaning that you can go to church, you can attend church, you can participate in the play, bang on the instruments, you can holler your voice to the high heavens and say you're singing. You can even be up in the pulpit. You can even attend and sit on the first few pews. Be in church. That don't mean you're the church. The church is those who believe, who actively believe, reading and studying the Bible, believing in God. See, there are people who attend church, they don't really believe God. A lot of them are saying them within their hearts and their mind, and they know who they are. I don't believe this mess. I'm just here just to see, watch them and see what they're doing. There's a lot of that going on in church. People just attending because it's the thing to do. And God, I don't fit in the world no more, so I'm going to go to church. That's how some folks say they don't fit in the world, so they just go to church. I ain't no more saved than that dog walking across the street. Amen. I hate to put the dog in that position, but I'm just using an example. Amen. All glory to the Most High. The point I'm making, amen, is that you got to be born again. Christ told Nicodemus that. You got to accept and believe Christ. Christ sent the message to John to those who were playing in the church. Amen. And so John began to write the book of Revelation to the seven churches. This is to the leadership, to the overseers of the church. That's what the overseer is. They are the leader of the church. Okay? You open up a church, you got a church builder. It don't matter if you got two or three gathered in your church, you're an overseer. If you have 2,000 or 3,000, you're still an overseer. It doesn't matter the number. People get wrapped up in numbers. Our main goal is to save souls. It does you no good to have thousands of people and ain't very many of them saved. You know, a person can have 100 people in his church and all of them can be saved. That's a great percentage. This is what we're dealing with. Because when Christ gave John the message, there were only two churches. Amen. Give God the glory on that. Amen. Thank him for those two churches. There were two churches that didn't have what? Criticism. He didn't criticize those churches because those churches were ready. Meaning if Christ was to come back, those two churches were ready. Amen. That was the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. They had no what? Criticism. If I'm criticizing you, that means you're not doing your job. See, if your boss comes in Monday morning, when he see you, and he's been looking at your report for the past 90 days, he starts to waving his finger at you and criticizing you, you ain't doing something right. You're not doing your job. Amen. This is what we're talking about today. This is what we're dealing with. So when we look at the seven churches, the first church was the church of Ephesus. Amen. The church of Ephesus was praised for their hard work and perseverance. But their criticism was they forgot their first love. You know what that means? That means when people first get saved, they're excited. They read the Bible. They study the Bible. They go ahead. They sleep with the Bible. You know how people sleep with the teddy bear? They sleeping with the Bible. Yeah, they got a wish list. They get, you got stuff all up under the pillow. Got their prayer notes and what they want God to do for, you know how you got a Christmas list or whatever. They got all up under the pillow. The dream list. God, that's what I want you to do for me. But somehow, some way, the Church of Ephesus has lost their way. Amen. You lost your way. It happens. And when you lose your way and you got more people coming to church, guess what you're doing? You're teaching them the wrong way. you're going the wrong direction. That's the blind. That's what they call it, the blind leading the blind. Well, the blind can't lead the blind. And that was the problem with the church of Ephesus. Christ said, repent. Just go back and do what you were doing in the beginning. Teach salvation. So you stop teaching love and salvation. That's wrong. A lot of churches, why a lot of churches don't show love. And why a lot of churches got H-E double hockey sticks going on in the church. Because they don't teach love and they don't teach salvation. They have lost their first love. The Bible of Christ said, repent. Go back and know what you were doing in the very beginning. You had it right the first time. You were loving people. You was hugging people. You was telling the brothers and sisters that you loved them. You had no problem. You know, you were going to all the church functions and meetings. And if they had evening service, you was at evening service. If they wanted to go visit another church, you was there. You was there on church on time. You would come to Sunday school. Go back to what you were doing. Oh, now you done got comfortable. You don't go Bible Wednesday night Bible study no more. You show up late to choir rehearsal. If you do, you complain about how long you're there. Hey, man, you talking about folks in the church, look at such as her, look like a beehive. All kind of stuff. Just cut up in the church. Repent. Go back to what you was doing. Teach love and salvation. That was the church of Ephesus. Then you had the church of Smyrna. Amen. The church of Smyrna, they were rich. You are rich. It don't mean rich in money. I mean, the offering plate was rich. It's not what it's saying. It's saying you are rich in spirit. Amen. It's good to be rich in spirit. You're willing to do. Willing to read your Bible. Willing to come to church. Pastor say, go, we going. And no matter how long we stand at this other church, if they say we stand there for 5 hours, we stand. We ain't going to complain. We're going to stay there until the service is over with. We ain't going to be walking out for 2 hours. All that stuff. Amen. Their exhortation was, be faithful. They had no criticism. Be faithful. No, well, continue to do what you're doing. Do what you do. Amen. I know some folks, my wife, they said, do what you do. Amen. That's what you got to do. Do what you do. Continue to do what you were doing. You're doing good. Continue to do what you were doing. Christ had no criticism of the church of Smyrna. Just be faithful. And your reward is that you won't be hurt by the second death. Amen. In other words, you ain't got to worry about going to the lake of fire because you believe. You are a true believer. Be faithful. Amen. The church of Pergamum. Oh, man. They had a few criticisms. Christ said that you have idolatry and sexual immorality. And by the way, these seven churches, I'm reading these praises and criticisms to you, whatever it is that they got going. Know that now, in today's church, and after these seven churches have ceased to exist, and even possibly then, I'm quite sure, all these characteristics, whether they be good or bad, exist in all churches. You just have to find out who you are and where you fit in as the church. Okay? The church of Pergamum, their praise was they remain faithful. Okay? You know, they're on church, come to church on time. Okay? Listen to the pastor preach. They ain't sleep in church. Amen. They faithful to the pastor. Listen to him. Sometimes the pastor word maybe get dull. Maybe he preached that same sermon three months ago. You still listening to him. You still saying amen. You ain't on your cell phone. You ain't talking about the sister with the beehive hair. Amen. You are remaining faithful. Their criticism was idolatry. They wanted to be like the world. Oh, Lord have mercy. Don't we have a lot of that going on today in the church? Amen. Worshiping worldly things, idolatry, making the world their God, being worldly. A lot of that going on in the church. That fits into a whole lot of churches. I guarantee you, if you go to any church, that's hitting every church, probably. Probably 95% of the churches. Amen. And sexual immorality. Now, that's also another that's high in the churches. A lot of these pastors, they using they're using their pastoral status for sex. I'm serious. I remember this one sister, boy, she thought she was going to become a first lady. Boy, that ain't what she became. But, you know, brother just using, abusing, tossing aside like a rag, old dirty rag. She was all mad. You have to be careful, amen. You have to be careful. Don't fall for Don't just fall for the old okey-doke. It's out there. But sexual immorality. And nowadays, we hear about all kinds of sexual immoralities in the church. We now begin to hear pastors sleeping with men. Amen. Sleeping with young children, all that kind of stuff. Teenagers and stuff. So there's a lot of that going on. Not only just from the pastors, the deacons, trickles down all the way from the pulpit to the back door, even the ushers. Hit everybody in the church. I don't think you miss anybody from the pastor to the ushers. That covers everybody. Sometimes the choir sits behind the church, but we're going to say the church, the choir is part of the congregation. So, again, we ain't missing nobody. You're hitting everybody. Amen? And so you think about that. That was their criticism. Again, it says repent. If they repent from idolatry and sexual immorality and get back to what? Loving God. Amen. Do what's right in the eyes of God. Then we got the church of Thyatira. Amen. I remember they used to talk about that church when I was a kid. Thyatira. I was like, what is Thyatira? I thought that was some type of disease or something wrong with your folk or something. I don't know. Amen. But the criticism, it says, again, they the same thing. It says adultery and sexual immorality. But those two churches was cutting up. Know what they was doing. Man, them churches must have been next door to each other. They must have been on the same street. These churches must have been on the same street. These churches was in association. They were going to each other's church anniversary. Amen. But the exhortation was, hold on to what you have until I come. Amen. Hold on to what you have until I come. Get it right. Amen. Amen. So we can't say that they was like the church of Smyrna, because the church of Smyrna didn't have no criticism. But amen, but they were faithful. Amen. But the church of Thyatira, they did have criticism. And so what you got to do is hold on to what's good and focus on that. Amen. Hold on to what you have until I come. Continue to do what's right and focus on what's right. I mean, I used to preach this in church a while back when I used to preach this church. I used to tell its members, our problem is we focus too much on the negative things. Whether it be our lives or somebody else's lives, you focusing too much on the negative. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. Focus on that which is good. Don't worry about that which is bad. Let's focus on the positive, okay? Let's not worry about other things, okay? Let's not worry about that. Don't worry about what the sister's doing and if they talking about folks. Don't worry about them. You do you. You do what's right. You don't indulge in certain things. And a lot of times we have to be strong because we get caught up. I mean, our mouth will just get to run. Next thing you know, we're talking about somebody. Because, see, a lot of times the problem the church have, but I've noticed that the church love to put the number on sin. They love to label sin. Oh, well, you commit adultery and commit fornication. Like, that's the top worst sin. There ain't no number with sin with God. Sin is sin. If you're lying, that's just as bad. If you cheating, that's just as bad. If you backbiting, that's just as bad. If you're stealing money, that's just as bad. You're being deceitful or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, you name it, it's all sin with God. It ain't no because you were talking about somebody, oh, that's okay, but because he or cheating on his wife or she cheating on her husband, that's worse. That ain't how it worked with God. Sin, God hates all sin. I remember my daddy said when I was young, he said, you say God hates all sin. He can't stand sin, no sin. So for you all that want to put numbers next to sins, ain't how it work. Sin is sin. Okay? We're going to look at the church of Sardis. The church of Sardis didn't have any praise. Ooh, criticism, you are dead. They were just a dead church. You ever walk to the church and it's cold? I don't mean because they got the AC on or because the heater's broken. It's wintertime. I mean, they were just cold. They're just stone faced. Nobody smile. Nobody speak. They're looking at you crazy from across the church, wondering why you in that church. They don't speak to you. Speak. They don't speak back. Or they act like they're more than you. They just call. They don't want to give you a hug. They don't want nobody to touch them. They were just a dead church. Again, these seven churches can be found in any church you go to. You're going to find a person that falls in these categories somewhere. And this is what we're trying to do, wake up the church. The exhortation was, wake up. Hey, man, wake up. Stop being dead. And you playing the music. You don't even want to clap your hands and stomp your feet. Well, like, are you even saved? Or better, are you even alive? Come on now. Hey, man, wake up. Here's my church right here. This is me. This is my church, the Church of Philadelphia. Its praise was deeds, works, amen, and faithfulness, amen. Okay? Amen. Criticism was none. Now, that don't mean that I don't have no sin, so let's make sure we get that straight and clear. No, I do sin, and I ain't perfect. It's just that the Bible said that there was no criticism. There was nothing that just stuck out. In other words, you know, there are some people, and I use my dad for this because I say my dad was church, part of this church too, which is where I have to get it from. He loved people. No matter what people said about him, he'd go on about his business. He wouldn't say nothing bad back to him. He would just go on about his business. See, there was no criticism there. Now, that don't mean in his mind that he would think something bad or anything like that. I'm just simply saying he wouldn't show it. If he did something wrong, you wouldn't know it. I lived with my dad all the way up until I became a young adult. And I can truthfully say he was the one and only man, and not only just because he was close to me, but he was the one and only man that I can say, I can't remember a time that, yeah, was he perfect? Absolutely not. But there was nothing that I could just sit back and say, wow, I can't believe my dad did that. There was just nothing like that that ever happened. There was just no criticism. Now, was there a sin? Yes, there was sin. Could I personally criticize him on some things? Yes, I could. But nothing that's not out of the ordinary. You get what I'm saying? Not like you hear about some of these pastors out here, you know. There's some strange things, that type of stuff going on. You know, Passover was Sister Sally Sue in the back of the church, something like that. Or Passover here gambling, or Passover stealing money, or he running women, or stuff like that. Or, you know, just whatever, just mistreating the members and stuff like that. Amen. That's my church, the Church of Philadelphia. And last but not least, the Church of Laodicea. Now, we recognize this church as the last church, which is what we say. We are in this church right now. That's why we believe that Christ is on his way back. Their praise was none. That's pretty much like the churches now. There's really no praise from the churches now. Really isn't, because so many people frown upon the church now that it's kind of sad. The church is falling away. There is no praise for the church, because the church is allowing people to just die spiritually. People in the church, people coming to the church, people not even in the church, never been to the church. Church don't even have doing too much outreach like they used to. I see some church begin to do it again when they go out and pick up the kids, which is good. Okay? It's criticism. You are lukewarm. You ain't even saved. Don't think lukewarm is half saved or used to be saved. No, you're lukewarm. You're not even saved. In other words, you're in the church acting like you say, clap your hands, stomp your feet. You got the appearance of the church. You smell like the church. You look like the church. You act like the church. You're just not the church. You're being fake. Nobody likes a fake, and we know that that's huge now in the world. A lot of these church people are fake, and that's why the world don't want nothing to do with most churches. They frown on the church, and they turn their backs on the church because so many people in church are fake. I can't stand fake people. I never could stand fake people. I don't like fake people at all. But this is where I'm at with that. Okay? So, that's your seven churches. And we're going to begin to cover each church individually once again, like we did before. We'll teach it as it goes, but we'll let the Holy Spirit lead and guide. But we'll do some more things with the teaching as far as pointing out. I may jump around a little bit more than I did because when I first taught the book of Revelation, of course, it was a little bit more structured. And the reason why is because I want to take you chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to explain and break down the book of Revelation. Now we kind of jump around a little bit since I've laid down the foundation and given you an idea of the book of Revelation and how it works and some things that's going on in the book of Revelation and how it relates to our everyday lives in the world now. So now we can kind of get a little bit more into that part, meaning that we can break down a little bit more how it relates to the world we live in now, the things that are going on, and where we fit in as the church as we await the return of Christ, okay? Now, the church of Laodicea, its exhortation, I want to show this with you before I go, says, was to be earnest and repent, okay? It's important. Repent. Keep saying that. He has a reward for this last day church. We'll be seated with Christ. We definitely long to be with him. And that's what that means. We will be seated with Christ, meaning that when he comes back to get us, we will be with him. We will be seated with Christ. Okay? I hope people catch that. And it says we will be seated. That is the last church Christ is coming back to get. Who? The church. We will be with him. When he comes back to get us, we will be ready for the what? The Lamb's Supper. We are the last church in these last and evil days. And that is what we look forward to, the return of Christ, to be with him. I don't know about you. I don't know about some of the saints out here. I think some people get money, cars, clothes, and a house, and they get some things, you know, it's like they get worldly gain and they get comfortable. That's what I'm trying to say. So, you know, it says that for the church of Laodicea to be earnest and repent, okay? Be sincere. No, stop the fakeness. Again, as I stated, people are just so fake in the church. That's what earnest means, to be sincere. Stop being fake. You know, I remember, I'll never forget, you know, people know you. I don't think they don't. People know you. I remember seeing this sister at a church. I saw her that same week in the parking lot. I can't remember what store it was. Straight spoke to sister. Hey, sister such and such. And that don't matter if you knew me personally or not. I ain't got to be your family member. I ain't got to be your son or your husband, and then I don't need to know you personally. But if I call you sister such and such, just by association, you have to know, well, this brother here must have saw me somewhere at church. And I knew the woman knew me, wouldn't even speak. Walk right by me like I was a stranger. Just fake as all out there. Oh, but when you see them at the church, oh, they banging the tambourine. Oh, they beating on the piano. They're always singing high praises, probably singing them to Satan because they ain't singing them to God. They just cutting up, shouting, scooting across the floor, and just all that. They like love to say they just slain in the spirit. By nowhere in scripture they say anything about slain in the spirit. You gotta be careful with you what you pick up out here, because a lot of people just be saying stuff. They just be making up stuff. So you gotta be careful. But anyway, family, that's about it. I will be back next week on the air. I have really enjoyed you all. Hoping you have enjoyed this word. Amen. Hopefully it says something to bless your soul. Amen. I love each and every one of you. Again, I am back on the air. I'm glad to be back. Be praying for me. Be praying for me as I journey through the state of Texas. Amen. And taking care of business. Amen. I'm praying for you. I'm definitely praying for the church. This is the age that I'm sending my prayers for the believers, for the one and only true believers, those who believe in God, those who believe in Christ, those who are saved. I am praying for those who are not saved to get saved. That's the only thing I'm praying for. When people say pray for people, I don't just pray for people. I know. I ain't praying to be blessed. I ain't praying to get a car, a house, or a good job. I ain't praying for none of that. I'm praying to become saved. Salvation comes first. And then he said, I will add all these things to you, right? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things. See, God's going to bless you with the car, the house. I can't bless you with no car, no house, and all that stuff. That doesn't mean that I won't pray for you to be blessed and to have certain things, yes. But I know sometimes people can be blinded, especially this day and age where it's all about money, it's all about prestige, it's all about who looks the best, who smells the best, who walks the best, just all this stuff. Everybody want to be the best. Everybody want to look good and all this stuff, but your heart is empty. This is what the Church of Laodicea was about. Your heart is empty. They didn't have nothing on the inside. Everything was on the outside, but nothing was on the inside. They couldn't love. They had nothing but hate in their heart. They flounced around. You don't have nothing to offer nobody when you don't have nothing spiritually. You really don't. You may think you may have something to offer that's worldly and materialistically. Stuff doesn't last long. It just doesn't. We need to show love towards one another. Amen. We need to show that we care for the brothers and the sisters. This is what more of the world needs, the teaching of love and salvation. This is what this is about. I want to be seated with Christ, and you should want to be seated with Christ as well. So understand me when I'm saying that, when I say I'm not praying for those things for you. Yeah, I can pray for those things for people, but sometimes people get a brand new car, get a Mercedes. My gosh, they don't want to speak no more. They get a nice $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 house. They don't want to speak no more. They get a good job, some money in the bank. They don't want to talk. They don't want you touching them. I'll say I've actually seen people like that. I've been thinking to myself, man, I remember when you was broke and dusty, and now you got a little two nickels to rub together. And now you, man, please, 20 years ago you was broke. Man, please, you was, man, people are something of the world, people are something else. So I'll be careful what I pray for people. I just don't, oh, bless him with the house and bless them with the car and all the clothes and the desires in their heart, and then you won't see them at church no more. So they become broke again. They're going to become broke, trust me. They'll be back in church when they broke. They ain't got no more money. They back in church. They ain't paying no tithes when they hit the lottery or when they get money. They ain't paying no tithes with a good job. Oh, they lose that good job right back in church. Man, it's funny. It's humorous, but it's just true. It's right. So that's why, you know, I'm careful about what I pray for people. I'm sitting in the back of my mind thinking, I'm praying for you to become saved. I don't know what you want, but I want you to become saved because that's the greatest gift, is eternal life. It's richer than anything else. It's richer than rich. If I could be here and live for thousands of years, I think I can acquire wealth. See, because of the worst that we've done, we're going to acquire wealth. There's no doubt that when we go to heaven, we're going to be rich, richer than anything on this earth. But the most important thing, that we get eternal life. We get to live for all eternity. I just still can't wrap my mind around that. Without no sickness, no pain, no stress, no hurt, no enemies, no fighting, no bickering, no fussing, no evilness. You can live all eternity in peace. Oh, my God, how could you not want that? How could you not desire that? My dad used to always say that when I was a kid. I love peace. I'm like, what is this old man talking about? He keep walking around his house talking about he loved peace. What is peace? I knew what peace was. I'm like, why does he love peace so much? Little did I know when I got grown, I knew exactly what my dad was talking about. Because the world is full of H-E-double hockey sticks. The world is full of hell. The world is full of evil. Evil men, evil women who will plot against you. Yes, plot against you, the church, the people who really don't have much, but they're jealous of you because you have peace and joy and happiness. You can be happy, you cannot have, you can have a quarter of what they have and you happy, and they go around with a stone face. Like, Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, I work at the bank, and some people that you know, that you deal with, it's like, Lord have mercy. How could you have a stink attitude when you got $1 million in your account? How can you have a stink attitude? You got $500,000 in this account, $200,000 over here, $200,000 in this account, $50,000 in this account. I've seen people that just have over $100,000 in each account, $700,000 here, $1.5 million here. I'm just looking at this guy, and he just bitter. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with this guy? You would think he'd be the most happiest person on earth. No. This is what the Bible is talking about. You are lukewarm. He's talking about the church of Laodicea. They were empty. He's talking about they were poor spiritually, but you were rich. What? Physically, you had material wealth. You had prestige, your name, who you were, your last name. The people in the city knew who you were when they called your last name, or people knew who you were when they saw you around town. You had money, you had cars, jewelry, the best, lived in the best neighborhood, went to the best churches, and you just the best. You're just the best of everything. Tore up on the inside, just empty and evil. The lake of fire is waiting on people like that. People think that, you know, I remember one time his pastor told me something crazy about his members. Well, we have over so much, $500,000 in real estate. I'm like, what they got to do with heaven? What they got to do with love and salvation? Because you and your members own so much real estate. Who cares about that? That's exactly what I'm talking about. We are so caught up into materialistic things at this day and time that you are missing the point. Get back to your first love. Get back to hugging people. See, I remember this brother. He was a mentor of mine. He's passed on and gone on now, this deacon. Man, you know, he made good money in his life. He would share with me some things that, you know, I won't share with other people about the money he used to make. I'm talking about back in the 70s. In the 70s, this man was making hundreds of thousands of dollars on one deal. And this brother would just tell me some of the things, but, man, he was the sweetest man. He was. He had a heart that he would help and give to anybody. When I say he would really help and give, he would. But he would not change. You go over his house, he'd treat you the same. His relatives come over, he wouldn't be ugly to you or mean to you. He would treat you the same. He'd see you out in public, he'd treat you the same. He'd see you in church, he'd treat you the same. See, that's the type of people we need. We need people who know how to put it on. That means the arm of God, to put on the cloak of God at all times. Sometimes, not when you walk out the church door, you cutting up and causing hell. Let's just call it what it is. Oh, I'm out of church now. You throwing a Bible in the back of the car. Let's go. Street demon. You burn out the church parking lot, cussing, doing everything else. I've seen people like that. I've seen people who just got out of church cussing. I thought when I was a youth, I couldn't believe my ears. I'm in the back seat like, is this not the person that was just on the keyboard? Was this not the woman that was just up there with him saying, amen, thank you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, all this old stuff? Cussing. Cussing. Not cursing. Cussing. C-U-S-S-I-N-G, if that's how you spell it. Cussing. You know, I'm from the South. They down here, I mean, just cutting up. Man, there's a whole lot of folks going to be disappointed when that sky crack open. I'm just going to be real with you. So all I'm saying is, church, get it right. He is on his way back. Don't you doubt it for one moment. Don't you play yourself short for one moment. Christ is on his way back. When is irrelevant. You could die tomorrow. He could come next week. That's irrelevant. Okay? I would love to see him come back. I think it would be a man. I would think it because, you know, for one, you know, you probably never taste death. Man, I'm talking about it would be awesome for Christ to crack that sky open and I'm with him. I'm caught up in the twinkling of my eye. That would be an experience. I would love to be in that number. But whether I'm in that number or not, I'm ready. That's the main point. That's why I'm trying to drive home to the church. You get yourself ready. Don't be out here playing. And I tell people, I've been preaching salvation and love for 21 years now. 21 years straight. That's all you need is love and salvation. Salvation and love. Know that you say Romans 10, 9, and 10. That's the plan of salvation. Know that you're going to heaven, first of all. And show love to people. Stop being ugly and mean and walk around with a frown. If I see some saints like, Lord, did you just... You thought they lost $1 million the way they be looking. I'm just for real. Like, man, it looks to kill. You supposed to be the church. I know we have our days, but you supposed to look like that all the time. You come in church, you got a stone face. You leave and they playing the music. I'm talking about turning the church up, jamming. You got a stone face. Well, they didn't say it, benediction and open up the doors of church, you got a stone face. I see you at the store, you got a stone face. I'm like, man, well, it's got to be something going on. Get some salvation and love in your life, and you'll be fine. That's all you need to focus on is salvation and love. Well, family, I'm fixing to get ready to shut it down. I know I said that probably about 15 minutes ago. I'm really about to shut it down. I am grateful for my life, my soul, my health, my strength. I'm grateful to the Most High God and what he has blessed me with, my wife, my children, family, friends, and loved ones, the people that I've surrounded myself with. People have really been a blessing to me. I'm praying for you all as the church. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want what's best for those who believe. I am praying for those who don't believe that they get saved and show love. I am praying for those that or say that we show more love. I'm praying for those that are in church who are lukewarm, meaning that they're not saved. I am praying for them to get saved, salvation, and show love. Okay? And then about your last name. Don't nobody care about your last name being Reed. Don't nobody care about your last name being Jackson, Johnson, Jones, Scott, Riverdale, Bartholomew. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing some names out there. Don't nobody care about all that. But you got some folks that are flunked that like, oh, my gosh. You won't even have that name. When you die, you have another name. I don't know what the people who are going to hell in the lake fire, what their name going to be. Maybe it will be. I don't know. But I know the Bible says those of us who believe, we will get a new name. You ain't going to carry this stuff into the next life. Stop it. You don't carry your nice house to the next life. You ain't going to carry that bad car into the next life. You ain't going to carry all that money in the bank with you to the next life. All them clothes, you got cool shoes. I ain't talking before. I'm like, what you going to do with 200 shoes? You ain't got 200 pairs of feet. What you going to do with 200 pairs of shoes? That's just more junk for them to throw away and try to get rid of when you die. That's why I don't buy a whole lot of stuff. That's just more junk that my family got to deal with when I leave this world. Keep it simple. I don't need no 10, 150 to 100 pair of shirts, 50 pair of tennis shoes and shoes and dress shoes. That's just more junk if something was to happen. That ain't a blessing. That's a burden because folks going to be fighting over that junk. It's just junk. Nobody wearing shoes that they wore 20 years ago. I ain't got no shoes I probably wore 3 years ago. You ain't driving the same car more like that you had 20 and 30 years ago. Okay? That's just how it is. We ain't walking around with a shirt that I wore in the 90s. I don't even have none of my stuff. If I only have my stuff, I don't think from 5 to 10 years ago, mostly. Most of my stuff is probably new, and I'll probably get some more new. That's just how it is. Give that stuff away. Refresh your closet. 5 pair of new shirts. Get rid of those old 5 pair of shirts. Okay, I understand you want to stay up to date. But ain't nobody walking around living like they in the 90s. If not Harlem, I say not that same, that is. You may got one or two. But most people are in 2021, or at least trying to keep up with it, at least within 3 to 5 years from now. The point I'm making, the shoes on your feet, you know, you probably got you some shoes within maybe 2 or 3 years ago, at least a year ago. But I don't need no 200 pairs of shoes. I don't have no 200 pairs of feet. I don't need that. That's 200 pairs of headaches. That's 200 headaches that you have now. So now I got to decide what I want to wear. That's too much. Got some black tennis shoes, some black shoes, dress pairs of dress shoes, and make it simple. Only got a few things, so guess what? Something's going to have to work. Keep it simple and keep it pushing. My salvation is the most important thing to Tim, and me showing love and being a lovable person. No matter what God has blessed me with over the years and how much I've accomplished, I want to maintain. I always tell God, no matter how far I go in life, thank you for blessing me to being the same person. I want to continue to be that same person. If I speak to somebody and they don't speak back, it's okay. It didn't cost me nothing. It was free. If I speak and you speak back, that's great. I want to still be that loving person I was when I first got saved. I want to be that same loving person when I pass on and leave this world when he comes and get me. Amen. That's what salvation is. Salvation is the signature. Amen. I mean, love is the signature of the saints. When I sign my name, it says love. That's what I want it to be. Not this fake stuff. Not this, oh, I remember you, and I'm better than you and my family's name. Who cares? When you stand before that throne, if you ain't saved, he ain't going to care nothing about what your last name is. He ain't going to care nothing about that half a million to a million and a half dollar house you lived in, the streets you lived on, or the neighborhood you lived in, the clothes you wore, the car you drove, the job you had, the business you had, how much money you made. He don't care about that. I heard people say some of the most silliest things in my life, like, my gosh, if these people only knew. The Bible says only what you do for Christ shall last. Only what you do for Christ. Let that sink in. Only what you do for Christ shall last. So that means last night, if you guys are in an argument with your spouse or whoever you with, and you both said some things, but you woke up today and you read your Bible, the only thing that counts is that you read your Bible. The argument, if you believe, he cast into the sea of forgetfulness, is gone. I don't care nothing about it. Okay, you argue. So what? I died for that. I died for that sin. It's gone. It's the past. But I care that you read your Bible and you studied your Bible. I can reward you for that. Only what you do for Christ shall last. Now, for those who don't believe, he going to bring up that argument. And he going to go over that argument. And you ain't got no works for Christ when you don't believe because you're not a believer. Don't you think that? I see people be talking some crazy stuff out here. They doing one thing, all of a sudden they in church. I'm like, wow, okay. I guess if that's what you're doing. But the point I'm making is that if you are an unbeliever, you're going to give an account for everything. Hey, man, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am one that does not like to be questioned by nobody. Only like my boss talking to me. My boss called me. What? I'll be thinking in my mind, what do you want, woman? What do you want? I'm just checking on you. Okay, thank you for checking on me. I'm just the type of person that I've always done my job to the best of my ability because I don't like nobody saying nothing to me. When I used to work for a contractor and they call me in the morning, what do you want? You missed this house. Okay, well, I'll make sure I hit that house tomorrow for sure. I don't want you calling me. All right, well, make sure you hit that house. Yes, sir, I'll make sure I hit that house. No problem. Okay? Months go by, year go by, ain't no mistakes at that house. That's what I'm saying. I don't like nobody saying nothing to me. I don't want nobody to criticize. I just don't. I know you don't either. I don't think nobody like nobody running up and down on them. Nobody does. We're all adults. We're all grown. Some of us got kids and grandkids. We don't want nobody to talk to us like we kids. Hey, I ain't five. I had to tell one of my supervisors a long time ago. He tried to talk to me like I had to check him right on the spot. Hey, man, I got kids that are grown, and you ain't going to talk to me like that. I'm not your kid. I ain't five. I'm older than you. So the point that I'm making is, if we can't take it from man, can you imagine sitting there before Christ and he running up and down every thought, every word, every deed you done did in this life? All that's going to be painful. And I'm glad I ain't got to endure that. That's what the book of Romans 8, chapter verse 1 says. There is therefore now, meaning presently, when you become saved, no condemnation to those of them that love him. In other words, for those of us that love Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, there is no more condemnation. I can go right out here right now and sin, and it won't be brought up in my judgment. He said, I can't reward you for that, Tim. But you spoke the words that same day, I can reward you for that. That's the God I serve. He's the God of love. Remember I told you an example when John said, I saw him and I fell at his feet as if I was dead, and he laid his hand upon me and said, well, fear not. You're one of me. You're on my side. I love you because you've chosen me. And because I've chosen to be his child, I won't have to worry about that. Fear not, Tim. You don't have to answer for all the evil thoughts that you had, all the evil deeds and the things that you said. You won't have to answer for that. Fear not. But the unbelieving, oh, my God, Lord, have mercy on y'all's soul and those that have lost their soul and have left this world and not received Christ. You don't know what's coming. Not only when you have to stand before the judgment, but the humiliation of standing before the Father, the God of all. You're going to stand before him and watch him and all the angels of heaven. And it's a possibility that more likely as the saints, we'll be right there with him. I don't see why we would be somewhere else. We might be right there. And I used to joke about it, so I don't make a joke about this no more. I used to make a joke, say we'd probably be right there with popcorn and icy whatnot. I don't want to be mean. But we may be right there in the midst watching the judgment. That's why I say, man, I hope all the people that I love and close to, I hope they get saved. I don't want to sit there and see somebody that I knew, like, man, I knew old boy, I knew old girl, get cast into the lake of fire. I don't know if we're going to be there or not. We may not be. I really kind of like don't see us there. I really would like to be walking around heaven, enjoying heaven. I think that's what we'd probably be. I'll probably be enjoying my reward. They said, well, the judgment's still going on. Yeah, it's still going on. But I'm enjoying this mansion, though. See, that's where I want to be, enjoying the mansion. So, you know, family, I know I keep talking about you, Greg, but here in a minute, I have to shut down because time's about to be up. You know, I love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. Man, this is why I do what I do, because I love you. And I've been saying some things but I truthfully, really, really believe I'm going to do something different with my ministry to try to reach more people. And so I've been thinking about some things and kind of talking to some people. So be praying for me, because the object is to save souls. It ain't about nothing else. It's about saving people, man. I love people. My concern is for people and for people not to lose their lives and to lose, you know, especially over silliness and food. You hate to see people just die over stuff like, man, them people lost their lives over this. You know what I'm saying? But you just hope that people get saved, because at least if you get saved, you don't have to worry about it. So, you know, we just want people to be saved. And so that's where I am with this whole thing. I care for people. I love people dearly. I love you, and I wish you all the best. So, family, I know sometimes I can kind of come off a little comical, but it's all in love. It's all good. I'm just trying to get this message across. I'll be back on the air next, be the Lord's will. I'll be back on the air next Saturday. We're going to continue this eschatology teaching, which is the study of end time events, the study of end things, which is where we are. Paul talked about know the times and the seasons, okay? The signs of the times is what they used to call when I was young. It's the signs of the times. So know the times and the seasons that we are in. You can look at the times, the things that are going on, the seasons, and how they are and how strange things are at this day and time. We believe that Christ is quickly approaching, not slowly approaching, quickly approaching. And so we just want to be ready for his return. I remember the old school saying, I'm about to be out of it for real. I remember this old school saying, I was talking to my brother about this a while back. I said, man, the old school saying, if they had it down, I remember they used to sing a song, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Now, I'm not no songster, but I had to just kind of give you an idea, because, you know, if I just talk, you'd be like, what in the world is he talking about? But there used to be an old song that said, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. What happened to them songs? Man, I mean, some of the stuff now they put on the gospel station saying somebody about to bust out twerking. Like, what in the world is this that they playing now? Ain't no reference to Christ's return. Ain't no real reference to love or salvation hardly anymore. It's all about the beat, all about the sound of the music. So anyway, family, I love you. You are royalty. I am royalty. Until next time, family, we will be back. I will be back on the air tomorrow evening, 4 p.m. Central Time, with Minister Elder Bazard to be a part of his ministry and what he's doing. I thank him for including me, and I'm grateful to be a part. So I'll be back on the air tomorrow. We're going to be talking about just expanding this, like again, just trying to reach as many people as we can. That is all we're trying to do. Anybody know shape, form, or fashion, who is this, who is that, this person versus this person, we don't do all that. We're just trying to reach as many souls as we can before the return of Christ. All right, family, that's my time. Again, I love you. Be blessed. Take care and stay safe out here in this world. Amen. Love you all.